I'd have. This morning, our scripture is taken from the letters of John, the first letter, and reading from the 16th verse through the 24th verse in the third chapter. We find these words written for our instruction and for our guidance and for our benefit. Amen. This is what's found there. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. As we move forward to our scripture today I'd like to lift up what has been discerned as God's vision for our church and what it may be for the entire body of Christ Church. It may have been stated in various forms throughout Scripture, but we worked and prayed and believed that God has spoken specifically to us about God's vision for us. I'd like us this morning to say it together because it ties into God's word to us through Scripture this morning. So if you would say with me, God's vision for our church is to become living examples of Christ's love, active in service to our community. Amen. Amen. And so if we hold true to what we believe God's vision for us is, and the subject for our scripture today is, keep God's love real. Keep God's love real. Give me just a second. We live in a world filled with actors and pretenders. Somebody say amen. Some of them are found in dramatic arts and film and stage on Broadway and other venues across the country where the dramatic arts are alive. There are other actors who have never mounted a stage or been captured on film who are perhaps more qualified than those who get millions to perform and entertain us. For some, their acting is truly an art, a craft that has been developed and practiced and mastered and performed to entertain the masses. For some, the art of acting is a life skill developed to present people with a false image of themselves. It's nothing more than a con, a sham presented to the public to fool them and make them believe something that isn't true. And then there are those of us whose life and job and art and craft it is to represent God and God's love as accurately and authentically as we can to our world. We don't do it for the purposes of entertainment. We don't do it to present others with a false image of who we are. Our goal, our responsibility, our mission and commission is to keep God's love as real and authentic in the world as it is in our lives. It's an assignment we have to get right, not just for Christ's sake or for ours. The authentic presence of God's love in the world is truly at stake. The heart of this story begins earlier at the 11th verse of this third chapter of 1 John. The opening words of John revisit what Christ has said to us from the very beginning, that we should love one another. In those words leading up to our scripture for today, John is clear that how we love one another is a visible indication of the presence of God's love. But John is not just interested in revisiting the groundwork for our previous instructions from Christ, nor is his point made to have us simply regurgitate the rules of love because we have memorized them like some multiplication table learned in school. John's point is that we understand that God's love, if it is to be an authentic love, is a love that is practiced and displayed by taking care of those who are in need. This action displayed in taking care of the needs of one another, according to John, is the measuring stick by which we are loved and show love in Christ's name. For John, it's an issue of the integrity of what we do in the name of Jesus to show that God's love is real. But it's also an issue of our relationship with God. It's about our freedom to approach God boldly with integrity, to ask God for those things we want, and know that in asking and receiving, it's all done to glorify and please God. All of this is tied to the reality of Jesus Christ, our faith in his name, and our faithfulness will be a living example and expression, a real example and expression of God's love present in the world. You see, brothers and sisters, real love, authentic love, the kind of love that Christ showed toward us is a genuine expression of caring towards someone who's in need. It's that self-sacrificing kind of love that puts others' needs ahead of our own. But it's also a love that seeks to meet the real needs of people who may be doing without. It's the kind of love that the songwriter wrote when he penned the words, "He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs." I remember a story that I was told one time about a church that was having a rehearsal. All they was up in the choir room singing their praises to God. They were singing songs of glory to Jesus' name when an intruder stepped inside of the choir room. They noticed the intruder, but they kept on singing. And then when the song was over, someone stepped forward and asked, "Is there something we can help you with?" The gentleman stepped forward. He just took one step forward. And he said, "I have a friend who lives down the street. And he doesn't have anything to eat. And I was passing by the church. And I saw all of the cars. And I thought, maybe someone in the church can help me get my friend something to eat." There was silence in the room. He goes on to say that the question was asked, "Have you been drinking?" He looked up at the choir and he said, "Yes, ma'am, I have. But I've got a friend who lives down the street and he has nothing to eat. And I was passing by the church and I thought maybe somebody in the church could help me get my friend something to eat." And he said, "You have to come back when the pastor's here." And he said, "But ma'am, I've got a friend down the street who doesn't have anything to eat. And I saw the cars at the church and I knew that there were church people here. I was just wondering if somebody here could help me get my friend something to eat." And as the members of the choir left the room, a couple of them stayed behind and said, "What can we do to help?" Story goes on that they took this person to the local grocery store and they didn't spend a lot of money. They got some chicken and some rice and some beans and a couple of others, some flour, cornmeal, and they took it and him back to his friend's house, and he carried the groceries in, and at the door he shouted, "I got some food. I got something for you to eat." And he started crying. He says the friend looked up at him and simply said, "Praise God. Thank you for helping me get something to eat." That's God's love in action. That's the love of God that happens when people place their biases and their fears aside to allow the grace of God to materialize into real food for the hungry and real clothes for the naked and real understanding for those in need of compassion. It's the kind of love that invites us to put our questions and doubts aside in order to touch another person's life at the point of their human needs. That's the kind of love that Christ showed us. That's the kind of love that keeps God's love real and authentic in our world. That's the kind of love we're being asked to openly offer to the world, remembering that our light shines before others so that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. But that kind of real love begins with loving ourselves unconditionally, warts, moles, and all. It means loving ourselves with the kind of love with which Christ loves us. And I'll be honest, friends, I had never thought about it in this light before, but keeping God's love real is an invitation to love ourselves unconditionally. I don't think it's any secret that the most difficult job we have is loving ourselves. If we're honest, sometimes we are our worst critics. We often set unrealistically high expectations for ourselves, setting the stage for that kind of self-criticism and the criticism of others that immobilizes God's love and the body of Christ. And at other times, the world is critical of us, and it teaches us to accept the unwarranted criticism of others. And in some strange cause and effect relationship, we have to admit that our self-criticism somehow leads to the criticism of others. A person named Jim Burns wrote a book called The Youth Builder. And in his book, he talks about the importance of building up young people with affirmation and trust. And what he says about the criticism of others applies to every age group. He says, for every critical comment we receive, hear this, brothers and sisters, for every critical comment we receive, It takes 9 affirming comments to even out the negative effect in our lives. 9 to 1. Most young people receive more critical comments a day than encouraging ones. We can have a very positive, life-transforming effect when we develop a ministry of affirmation. You see, brothers and sisters, if we can't love ourselves enough to affirm God's gifts in us, then it becomes more difficult to recognize God's gifts in others and affirm them. But if and when we can begin to love ourselves just enough to affirm God's gifts in us, then we may even be able to more easily recognize and affirm God's gifts in others. And what a marvelous expression of God's love in Jesus Christ would be displayed if we could accept each other as we are and affirm those God-given, God-inspired gifts that we've all received from Christ and lift each other up instead of complaining and finding ways to tear each other down. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could keep God's love real, the love of Christ and our God? If we could once again hear the world respond to the authentic love of God active in the lives of Christians and say, as they once said, see how they love one another. That's what keeping God's love real can do for the church, for us and for the world. But I have to admit to all of us, brothers and sisters, that trying to keep God's love real is more than a notion. Not because it's impossible, but because it's difficult. And it's difficult because our humanity gets in our way. Our natural survival instincts kick in and we find ourselves avoiding situations where the love of God could really become authentic. We question whether or not the real love of God demands the kind of relationship with God where sacrificial love is really expected. We look at our world and wonder to what degree we should even become involved or dare to offer an authentic love of Christ to people who aren't really feeling it or may be drawn toward a life where bad decisions can lead to despair or death. And then the question is, why should it be any different for any of them? What, if anything, makes those walking in darkness worthy of this generous and amazing love of God that we talk and sing about? And if the questions don't come from us, you can believe they will come from those who question our understanding of God's love and our desire to keep God's love real. In the movie The Equalizer 2, Robert McCall, played by actor Denzel Washington, comes across a young man named Miles, played by Ashton Sanders. Miles is a talented artist, but because of gang activity in his neighborhood, a wrong decision could lead to trouble and despair. He will likely kill or be killed if he doesn't make the right decision. His options are clear. McCall can abandon this young man to gang life, or he can take the radical step and love Miles beyond his ability to understand. Watch and listen as McCall does what a lot of people wouldn't do.
Is this what you want? Is it what you want? I thought you wanted to draw it. Now what you said?
Draw?
Yeah.
Paint?
Yeah. You need to be a gangster. You need to be a killer, a little young. You need that. Okay, if that's what you want, if that's what makes you feel like a man, then be a real man. Let's get jumped in right now. Here, start with me.
No, start with me.
Here.
Start with me.
Come on, killer. Come on, killer. Come on, killer. Do it right there. You know how to hold it. You know what you're doing? Come on, killer. There you go. There you go. There you go. 5 pounds of pressure, that's all it takes. Come on, gangster. 5 pounds of pressure, that's all it takes. 5 pounds of pressure, that's all it takes. Now, hey, come straight. You don't want to get to it. Come get to it. I ain't gonna do nothing. See? You know what they are up there? They're liars. And so am I. See what happens when you deal with a liar? You see what happens when you deal with a liar? I lied to you, and I'ma kill you. What do you see when you look at me? Tell me. You better give me a right answer. What do you see when you look at me? Tell her. What do you see, young man? You don't know.
I don't know.
Man, they spelled G-U-N, son. You got a choice. You got talent. You got a chance, and I want to hear about your environment, what your mama didn't give you, and the white man won't give you no shot. You got a chance. Use it while you're still alive. You don't know what death is. You have no idea what death is. Make a decision.
Okay. Hey, yo, Mr. McCall. I mean,
why not you?
But why me?
Just why not together?
And that's how God's love is challenged in practice. God's love is challenged by the questions people ask about how or why we love authentically. And our avoidance of keeping God's love real and caring for others raises doubts in the minds about the reality of God's love. Why me? Why not you? Why them? Why not them? Why us? Why not us? It's opening up ourselves to love and care for those who may not understand why we do it, but understanding that we're all on a journey and we can discover the depth of God's love together. It's only when we set artificial and arbitrary limits on God's love that God's love begins to take on an artificial, inauthentic appearance. It's when God's love becomes conditional that it fails to be real. But the real love of God is God's love expressed as a love toward others unconditionally. The real love of God doesn't consider how we might be taken advantage of. It just does as the scripture reminds us. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Is it practical? No. Is it logical? No. Is it prudent? No. But there is nothing prudent about God's love. God's love in its most authentic state is poured out on us lavishly. God's love in its most real state doesn't leave room for practicality. God's love in its most genuine presence doesn't provide space for any logic other than God's. The real love of God calls us to be radical in our love. How else could you explain these words of Jesus who said, "But I say to you, love your neighbor, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous." You see, brothers and sisters, the radical love of others is belief in Jesus being authentic in his highest form. The radical love of others is honoring God and Christ as the most powerful expression of God's love. This is keeping God's love real from the beginning to the end. It's proof that we are alive in Christ and that Christ is alive in us. And it gives an authentic witness to the world about God's truth, Christ's reality, and the authentic love of God, which is so amazing. So as children of God, as servants of Christ, If we are to live in pursuit of God's vision for our church and our world, if we are to become living examples of Christ's love active in service to our community, then we have to keep God's love real in our lives. If we are serious about chasing God's vision for us until it becomes a reality in our lives, then we have to make God's love a visible reality in our world. If we are to be the ambassadors of Christ, where God is making God's appeal of reconciliation through us, then we have to keep God's love real. It gives honor to God. It lifts up the truth of God's message of reconciliation. It enables us to be faithful as we work toward God's vision for us to become living examples of Christ's love, active in service to our community. That's keeping God's love real in its truest and most authentic way, and gives God all of the glory. And that is the word of God today for the people of God. Amen.